We'll be catching up with Arklow's finest over the next hour, talking about the past, the recent 12-inch releases, and various things that she's been up to, and indeed the future as well. And then in the second hour, Roisin's picking the tunes, basically. So I'm not going to give the game away about what happens there, but some very, very interesting choices indeed, as you'd expect. You can also win some signed vinyl. Very limited signed vinyl and an exclusive, extremely limited signed t-shirt for yourself if you're a Roisin fan, or for the Roisin Murphy obsessive in your life. 0874-100-102 is the number for your text. Live at todayfm.com, the address for your emails. And at P. McLoon, of course, as always, is where you can tweet me on the Twitter thingamidoodle.
I'd been with the same label since the beginning, since I was 19 years old, and suddenly I'd made the wrong record. Suddenly I understood what it was for the industry to kind of panic on you and kind of turn around and say, well, that's not right, that record. What the hell are we going to do with this, that, and whatever? And I just could not. It was like an anathema to me. I just couldn't understand anyone, you know, it sounds really arrogant, but how anyone could say that's the wrong record. Like, well, what do you mean the wrong record? That's the record. That's like on, my leg. You're saying it's the wrong leg, you know, that's my leg.
Exactly. You sweat blood on a thing and somebody says it's not right. That's pretty.
It was like the wrong record just seems such a kind of strange language as well to me. It was like another language.
Were those the words that were used? Did somebody say
that's the wrong record?
Oh my God.
But I love this track. It's got that real, it's just very good house music and very good song. It's got all sorts of feelings in it all at once. Like, I like house music to have. I like it to have dark and sad and melancholic feeling holding that at the same time in one hand as holding that sort of euphoria in the other.
Which, you know, certain bands actually have. I know exactly what you mean. It's the music that I respond to a lot as well. Bands like Pet Shop Boys, New Order have had a bit of that that ability to kind of, I don't know, it's a groove and you can dance to it, but there's a kind of a sadness to it, or a kind of a pull to it. It's very specific to that
universal sort of melancholy to it.
But it's very specific to that sort of instrumentation.
Yeah.
I think piano and kind of those minor chords that you get in kind of house tracks, it's very unique to that.
It's like disco can be like that too, you know. I mean, I think dance music's ideal for it.
Yeah.
Absolutely the perfect vehicle for that sort of combination.
And do you still get to go to the clubs and go out?
Oh, I don't go to clubs much anymore. Not like I used to.
So the melancholy's even richer now.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's give it a listen. As I say, I've not heard it before. This is Different Morals. I remember when I got this record. I mean, I knew who My Bloody Valentine were and I was aware of them. Actually, I'd been aware of them for a while. But nothing prepared you for Loveless. It was just such a leap forward for them. For them as a band and for guitar music or music in general.
Didn't he spend like 3 years remastering it or something?
He did recently,
down a rabbit hole of mastering.
It was supposed to come out and I think the story is he couldn't decide whether he wanted to use the analog source or a digital remaster, and he ended up releasing both.
There's a great difference between...
I think you'll find. Yeah. Well, he can hear it. See, that's the thing about guys like Kevin, and I guess he has an antecedent in Brian Wilson to an extent. They hear this stuff. They hear it. Maybe most other people just don't even get anywhere near it, but it's very real to them, you know? And I think maybe
I think when you make anything... You know, when you're the creator of anything, the other people look at you and wonder why you worry about the details so much. But the creator knows that all the details add up.
Yeah.
That every single little small increment, you know, will add up to the initial response to the work, you know. So, yeah.
And I mean, I guess it's like...
It's all you can control as a creative is the tiny details, and just keep on top of all the tiny details.
Isn't the challenge though then, when's it done?
Yeah, that is a you know, that does separate the men from the boys, and I don't think you can take it away. Kevin did put the bloody records out, yeah. You know, so he didn't just sit at home and continually work on stuff. He actually did put some incredible music out in the world. But, yeah. I mean, I guess it must be hard to follow it up when you've, like, broke boundaries to that degree, and you've made something so untouchable.
Absolutely.
It must be hard to kind of get your head back in.
I gotta be honest with you. I mean, it may have taken him a long time to make it, and it may have, you know, and he may have taken him a very, very long time to actually do anything more, which of course he and they have done, and there's new records on the way, we're told. It wouldn't hold me breath, but they're on the way. But
it doesn't date though, does it?
Yeah, that's the thing. I gotta be honest, it took me a couple of years to really get it. I mean, I got it, and I played it, and I didn't fully understand it. In fact, I actually, when I first put it on, I thought maybe there was something slightly wrong with the record. This was back in the vinyl days. Mm. And I was kind of going, is the record okay? You know, I just wasn't prepared for it, for the kind of, where he was taking it. And it took me a long, long time to really even begin to wrap my head around it, which I don't think I've fully done. I think it's one of those pieces of work where you'll only ever get a bit of it. You'll never fully get it. It's kind of, and that makes it intriguing, and that makes it something that you keep going back to, because you're still finding stuff out about it.
I mean, live you got it though. I mean, live there were...
Oh, you got it all right.
I mean, well, it was like a mosh meltdown, you know. Yeah. It was so loud and it was so exquisite, and I was young. I was might have been before this stuff that I saw them. I think I saw them in 89 or 90.
Yeah.
But it was just a phenomenal experience, really. Exquisite, over the top, like meltdown. It was just brilliant.
We can't fully reproduce it on your radio, but give it a go. Yeah. Turn it up as loud as you can. My Bloody Valentine, only shallow on today. I was delighted when you picked this, because I love the Stooges and I love Iggy. And God, you know, he's one of my guys, one of the top guys. And I love this first Stooges album, but I'd be willing to make a bet that not everybody loves this track. It's the one that probably divides opinion on that first Stooges record. It's We Will Fall, and it's very long, and it's very slow, and it's not typical of that first album, which are all the reasons why it's brilliant, apart from just it being brilliant. Plus the fact, apparently, I don't know how true this is, but I've read that the reason why We Will Fall exists is because the Stooges went in with John Cale. They were a band literally out of a trailer park in Ann Arbor in Michigan, and they only had about five songs. They didn't have a set, and they, before you knew it, because of their connections with Detroit and MC5, they were in the studio doing their debut album. They'd been picked up by Elektra Records, and they're doing the debut album, and they realized they didn't have enough songs for the album. They had to come up with one, and this is it. Mm. And they had to make it long, because they had to make the album long. If it's not true, it's still a great story.
Yeah.
But what are the great things about this? Because it is very atypical of that record.
This is like a teenage stoner anthem for me, you know. Sitting in my flat in Manchester with my mates, and you know, I was the first one of my friends to have a little flat of my own and everything. So they used to all come round, and this is a classic type of thing that we would play. I mean, the Stooges for me. You know, I don't like many bands, honestly. Blokes, all thrashing it out, whatnot.
I'll just leave, shall I?
It's kind of just nonsense, really, isn't it?
Roisin Murphy on Today FM, taking over the Paul McLoone Show.
It's Paul McLoone on Today FM with Roisin Murphy, and we're getting back to the dance floor now, Roisin, after that somewhat narcotic interlude from the Stooges. Gwen Guthrie's Seventh Heaven. This is real sort of back to the source, really, for you. I get a sense of this is where...
Well, this is really something, a record that Mark Bryden from Loco and I had in common, loving. It was one of the ones that I said to him, oh, you know that song, Seventh Heaven, I love that. And he was like, I love that too, you know, and I've got it. And he pulled it out of his record collection and played it to me right at the beginning of the relationship. And I think it's one of my favourite records of all time. I mean, it comes from well, Gwen is an amazing singer, it's an amazing song, and then it's just an incredible reimagining of the production and the bass and everything else. I mean, obviously loving this would make me love Maurice Fulton as well.
Yeah, and you can hear a lot of the, I mean, with good reason, but you can hear, I can certainly hear a bit of this track in All My Dreams, for instance.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'm sure he's a big Larry Levan fan.
Yeah. Gwen Guthrie, Seventh Heaven on Today FM.
Taking over the Paul McLoon Show, Today FM.
Now you've mentioned Arklow, I'm going to just jump ahead.
Come on, Arklow.
Absolutely.
What a town in the 70s, my God.
And in the 70s, Van Morrison wrote a song about it. Veed and Fleece is the album, and it's a choice on your list, Streets of Arklow. A beautiful song. Can you tell us a bit more about what it means to you?
Well, you know, I love Van Morrison. I know he's probably a moody old get and everything, and people give out about him, but I just...
I've never heard that. I've never heard that about Van Morrison. No.
Trust me, no, people do say it. No. His voice, though, it absolutely resonates with me in a way that maybe no other voice does. Astral Weeks, probably I've listened to that album more than I've listened to any album at all, ever. Just trying to figure it out. And that voice, like what I was saying to you now, that I've been sort of testifying and all that
Yes. Kind
of. And he all immediately had that bravery. He immediately was able to key into that and just...
It really is
go
remarkable.
Off
yeah.
And just trust himself, you know, singing. Trust himself, his words, his melodies, to skirt around and to make... I mean, maybe I listen to Astral Weeks to try and figure it out because, yeah. You know, you can't sing along to it a lot of the time.
Do you know, that's the incredible thing about Astral Weeks.
But it just sticks in your head as well. Yeah, at it's the
guy,
same time.
But the guy goes, and he's very, very young, and he's just out of... You know, Them, and they had a lot of success.
I love Them as well.
Amazing band. And then he had the kind of Burt Burns sort of thing that didn't, you know, that was a bit difficult for him. But then he just goes and arrives at this, and nobody was doing it. I mean, you know, it's up there with, obviously it's one of those albums now, it's up there with you know, Pet Sounds and Revolver. And
But it isn't talked about in the same way.
It's not. And he's kind of... He's the only guy who's doing that. Like, where's it coming from? When you play Astral Weeks now, even today, when we're so used to it, and it's 50 years later, and you're still going, where's that coming from? You know, nobody else was doing that.
No, and there's never been anything like it again, and yeah. He's never made anything like it again. Yeah. But going back to this track, of course, just for me to be so in love with this musician and this singer, and I really, as a singer, I mean... He blows my mind as a singer. He really does. And a songwriter, obviously. This is one fantastic song, this, The Streets of Arklow. Really amazing. My mother's convinced it's about her. I mean, I was the only gorgeous one going around with no shoes on in Arklow at the time. But regardless whether it was about my mother or not, which I don't think it is, Mammy, you know, it's a fantastic song, and I found his song. He's wrote a song about Arklow. Can you imagine, like, being a kid and finding that out? And it's an incredible song. It's such one of his best songs. You know, one of his height. You can put it up with all the good stuff. You know.
Yeah, yeah, and from a wonderful and occasionally overlooked album.
It's a great album. Feed and Fleece. One too, yeah.
But then again, when you've done Astral Weeks, you know, everything else kind of, I don't know. Like you say, he never really hit that. Thing again, but this is a great
people
song.
People say that Astral Weeks came out of the fact that he couldn't afford rock musicians, and so he just hired jazz musicians.
Guys, yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting to think about that restrictions can make you make something much better than having had no restrictions at all.
Absolutely. So from Veed and Fleece, Streets of Arklow, do you get back to Arklow much?
I do, yeah. My mum's still there and lots of family still there.
You can take the girl out of Arklow.
But when I go, I stay in up the road in the country.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, you were saying. Yeah, yeah, very good.
In the country, darling. You know we like to go to the country.
Removed from the streets of Arklow. Far from the streets of Arklow.
I love Arklow. I love the people of Arklow.
Absolutely.
And everything I am is because I'm from Arklow. You know, Arklow was, at that time when I was a kid, just before we left, obviously, because of a massive recession, and we went to Manchester, and Arklow kind of has suffered ever since from that time. But before that, we had one of the highest employment rates in the country, and we're well known for the four-day weekend in Arklow. So people were party central, you know, down there. And always were from years ago. My grandfather had a marquee. That's how he started his businesses. He got a marquee going, and he used to have all the bands there, and people used to go down from Dublin to his. So you could say he was a... You know, in today's parlance, he was a rave promoter, more or less. And
obviously, a man with an eye on the main chance. Yeah,
he also was an incredible singer, and there's lots of great recordings of him playing the piano and singing, which he recorded onto wax, onto record.
Right.
So he was great, and that side of the family, you know, real old Arklow family. And then there was my father, who came up from Enniscorthy, who was like, you know, very glamorous in his ways. He also was very much part of the night culture of Ireland. Then he redid half the pubs in Ireland, you know. So I suppose before my dad's time, the pubs would have been all like crates, and you know, you see crate and what have you. And then my dad came in and he put fitted furniture and made pubs like discos, you know what I mean? And I spent my life in and out of pubs with my dad, you know.
So between your dad and your uncle, it was all really kind of preordained, wasn't it? It was kind of...
Well, I'm telling you...
There was only one way it was ever going to go.
The only problem myself, my brother and some of my cousins have is that we cannot be as rock and roll as the generation that went before us. It's not possible.
I often think that, yeah. I often think that. Yeah, absolutely. And, talk about...
And this is also a thing, you know, this Irish... What people perceive as Irish stories of that time, maybe coming out of the 60s and 70s, they're not what I remember. I remember this modernity. I remember this kind of real kind of like, well, yeah, you hold on to what's good from the past, but you go forward as well. And, you know, it was very exciting. It was a very exciting place at that time.
It's an interesting
the
perspective.
The streets of Arklow.
Yeah, because people, you know, people traditionally paint it in shades of grey, and it was so oppressed.
Oh, I didn't know anyone who wore caps and sort of Aran jumpers or anything like that. It was all like plastic chiffon shirts and medallions and hairy chests and, you know, great music and insane parties and people getting off with each other under my ma's dining room table who shouldn't be getting off with each other at all.
Who will remain
poets
nameless.
Poets and people from the street and, you know, businessmen and musicians and writers and artists and singers and all these people all mixing up together, you know, and just like... I mean, I definitely need to make some kind of film about this. This is something I really see that's like Ireland seen through almost like a Martin Scorsese sort of eyes, you know. Yeah. That's how I remember it. It was cool like as hell.
Ireland in Technicolor, Streets of Arklow from Veed and Fleece. Here's Van Morrison.
I want to do more. As I've just been talking about, you know, I really do want to make a film.
Yeah.
About that period in Ireland. It's a big thing in my head that I have to do.
Great.
And then to sort of see, because, you know, I think people know that I'm very much a performer. Yeah, I really am.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious to sort of start to live vicariously through other performers, and I think I can do that in the film mode probably better than I can through music, you know.
And would it be, obviously you're very hands-on with your videos and all that sort of stuff, everybody knows that, presumably this would be someone you'd direct.
Yeah, It would be completely... I would write it and direct it.
Fantastic. Well, if you need a guy, you know, a tall, kind of tallish guy with a beard, third from the left.
The owl guy in the corner.
That's
there.
That's the fella.
the bar, the not the lounge.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody talks to him. Ah, that's Mick. He's grand. You know who to call.
Okay.
Thanks so much. Cheers.
Thank you.
Roisin Murphy takes over the Paul McLean Show on Today FM.